Hello, America. This is the place for uncensored talk on everything that divides us as a nation. I'm Alan Jacoby, and welcome to The Great Divide. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Great Divide podcast. I'm your host, Alan Jacoby. Hope you're all doing well. Remember, get over to the website, you can catch all the episodes and get me on social media, thegreatdivide1776.com. So I want to start by talking about bravery. Bravery. You hear bravery. What does bravery mean? It's bravery, it's more than just a term. It's not a term, really. Bravery is a meaning. It means something. Bravery is a calling. In a sense, bravery is a way of life for some. Definitely not all. Not everyone is brave. But I believe everyone has the ability to be brave or show bravery in an act that's not typical to everyday life, in someone's everyday life. Often, bravery is shown during a high stress or dangerous and even during life-threatening or situations. But what does bravery mean, though? I think the definition is clear, but I guess it's how it's interpreted. Bravery, it means showing mental or moral strength to face danger or fear, a dangerous situation that you wouldn't normally face. You show bravery. When you hear the word bravery, what kind of people come to mind? Or what professions maybe come to mind? Like I hear the word bravery and I immediately think, usually without hesitation, military, firefighters, police officers, paramedics. The people that are out there working to protect us, protect our communities, protect our country. I'm not saying those are the only brave individuals out there, but you get what I mean. People that are putting their lives on the line for the greater good, to protect something or someone or a community or our country, above and beyond showing bravery. Most rational people know what real bravery is. The guy who scales the 500-foot radio tower to change that red blinking light at the top, he's pretty damn brave in my book. I wouldn't be doing that. That takes some sort of bravery, but not the same bravery as going to war or, pulling children out of a burning apartment. All right, so why am I talking about bravery? I feel like the meaning, I feel like a lot of people who I talk to feel this way. The meaning of bravery has lost its way in today's crazy society. Because now, with all the wokeness around everybody, bravery seems to take on a whole other meaning to a lot of morons who have no goddamn meaning what the word bravery means. They have no clue what it means to be brave. Let's face it. Bravery, this is going to be offensive to those, who feel a certain way, but I really could care less. This is my opinion, but this is fact. Bravery is not deciding one day you're going to start playing dress up in public and demand people call you Mary when you're a dude named Mark. You're not being brave by putting makeup on a dress and saying, now I'm a woman and I'm going to go out in society and I'm going to be brave to do it. No, that's not bravery. Bravery is not telling the world you're some sort of made-up gender because it makes you feel like a person or that you have meaning in your life now. Because no one cares. Great that you feel that way, but no one cares. It doesn't make you brave. Play dress up identify as a donkey or a bunny or a trans, pan, bi, trisexual, change your name to Little Miss Hot Mess, go get genital mutilation surgery, call yourself whatever the hell you want. But do not think for one second you are a brave little soul for doing any of that. You are not. You're not. You're not brave for doing any of that. Don't have anything against you doing any of that. But you're not going to force me to accept that this is some sort of bravery. Because it's not. You're not brave. Now, if you're a drag queen and you want to rescue a kid from a burning building or from a car that crashed into a lake, then guess what? You're pretty fucking brave. You're a brave drag queen, I guess. My point is, identifying as anything other than heterosexual or male does not make you brave. I'm so tired of that narrative. Your identity crisis is not courageous. You are not brave because you're open about your identity or sexuality. You're not brave. War veterans are brave. Firefighters are brave. Police officers are brave. Transgenders who want to march in a parade wearing rainbow dresses and go-go boots are not brave. The woke idiots who call people who identify anything other than straight white males brave are pandering. They're pandering and they're morons. And they're lying to you. They really don't think you're brave. I don't believe that. Some of them, I guess, do. I think most don't. I think most of it's a pandering game. Does it take some courage for someone to come out as gay or trans or whatever else they want to identify as? Yes, I'm not downplaying the mental state and anxiety of someone who needs to come out as gay or anything else to keep their sanity or live their life the way they want. Those people have a lot to deal with, and they deserve the respect and acceptance from society, but it's not a brave act. It's not showing bravery. It's also, in my opinion, not acceptable to have someone demand acceptance by force. This is me now. You have to accept me. We're going to make laws about it. I'll accept you as a human. Yeah, great. Okay. You dress different. You identify different. I don't care. But you're not going to force me. I'm not going to ridicule you. I'm not going to disrespect you. I'm going to accept you like I would accept any other human I come into contact on a daily basis with respect. But if you're going to demand it, that's a different story. Because I'm not going to demand to be respected by anyone. I'm going to earn their respect because I'm going to show respect. Don't tell people this is me and you have to accept me or you're a bigot or a transphobe. Because my response to that is screw you. You have to accept me for me or you're a bigot and or a heterophobe. Because apparently, a lot of people in this LGBTQ community have issues with accepting straight people, especially straight men, like we're bad. No. Again, you want to be brave, join the military and get deployed to a hostile, war-ridden environment. Become a firefighter, become a police officer, or go scale that radio tower and change the red blinking light. Storming the beaches of Normandy on D-Day was brave. Rushing into burning buildings to search and rescue victims is brave. That's bravery. But our idiot in chief, Joe Biden, he seems to think trans people are brave. And members of the military aren't. Like, just, we're gonna snub them. this administration snubbed military veterans who gave their lives to protect this country, did it on Memorial Day, and then he has the gall to completely disregard, again, the troops who died on D-Day this past June 6th. 77 years ago, June 6th, 1944, boys who were 17 and 18 years old, boys who became men very quickly, and a lot of them killed on the beaches of Normandy as they fought to protect the freedoms of the West. Our president doesn't acknowledge them at all on D-Day. At all. You want to talk about bravery? That is the ultimate example of bravery. And it's so disturbing and disgusting that the commander-in-chief, in air quotes, doesn't recognize real bravery. Instead, sleepy, creepy Joe panders to the wokeness and acknowledges trans people as brave the very next day in a tweet. Yes, President of the United States, Joe Biden, moron, puts out a tweet. Puts out a tweet June 7th about trans people being brave. I'm gonna quote it. This is the tweet that Joe Biden puts out June 7th. To transgender Americans across the country, especially the young people who are so brave, I want you to know your president has your back during Pride Month and all the time. This wouldn't piss me off so much if this moron acknowledged meaningfully the brave actions of our military members who were killed in action. D-Day, every conflict out there. Instead, he's pandering to the progressives who control him. If this doesn't piss you off or upset you in any way, then you are a moron and no better than any of these sick woke progressives. This is what the president cares about. He panders to the progressives. Trans people are brave to the president of the United States. Now I get, oh, a big deal. It's a tweet, right? No, it is a big deal because if you're using that social media to reach the American people, which, you know, that's what presidents do now. Well, then whoever is in charge of your Twitter, whoever, they should know this is an important day in American history. This was D-Day. You need to acknowledge. You should probably make a statement from the Oval Office on D-Day. Something. But no, you want to pander and call trans people brave. There is nothing brave about being trans. Sorry. Call me a transphobe, whatever you want. I don't have a problem with trans people. You're just not brave. President Biden, my message for you, to you, for completely disregarding our brave military members who didn't make it home. Well, excuse my language. Well, you know, you could fuck right off. That's my message to you, President Biden. It's disgusting. It's deplorable. And it should not be forgiven. So our VP, our vice president, the border czar, cackling Kamala Harris, gets on her plane, flies over the southern border that she hasn't been to Guatemala, to meet with the president of Guatemala to discuss the root cause of this mass migration to the United States. When we already know the root cause is because Joe Biden told them to come. He said it during the presidential debates. And when he got into president, that's exactly what he did. He stopped the border wall. He opened the borders and he said, hey, come on, everybody. And they came. They'll even tell you, well, we came because Joe Biden, you know, they told us to come. Anyway, this trip was a disaster. And truthfully, it's an embarrassment to the United States. As an American, I'm embarrassed of the whole trip. I mean, I'm embarrassed of the whole presidency and administration, but that's another story. What I found hilarious was when Cackling Kamala arrived, she was met with citizens of Guatemala, all there holding signs that said, "Go home, Kamala. Trump won. Guatemala is pro-life." I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw this on video. And the first thought, I thought it was a joke at first, like it was a spoof video, but then I realized, nope, it's real and it's unbelievable. For those that are only listening and not watching, you got to go to the show notes and see the video, but I'm going to play the clip now. So check this out.
Con la relación buena.
Necesita que es empleo y es
El Celaya.
How great is that? I love that. I would have loved to have seen the reaction on her face when she saw those signs. I doubt she cackled over them. She's so full of herself. She probably really pissed off and cringing. I mean, that's a cringe moment. You go into a country that's not, you know, not like our country, that's for sure. And these people are telling the vice president to go home. We don't want you here. Basically, that you're a bag of shit. So she goes there and, you know, she cackles here and there. The cackle queen. She gave some speeches and she told everyone lies. I mean, she lied. She lied that people are migrating because of hurricanes and droughts. And then tries to give this stern and demanding command to not come to the U.S. and people who do come to the border will not be let in, and the U.S. will be enforcing all immigration laws. First of all, who is this moron fooling? When she, before she was VP, she made comments saying, you know, we erected the Statue of Liberty. We can't just let people stand at the border and not let them in. And now, with the border exploding the way it is, that they still don't think is a crisis, as far as Kamala and Sleepy Joe, they now are going to say the border's secure, don't come. Now they're going to reiterate this nonsense, don't come. And they're still coming. Nobody's listening. The border's wide open. They're still coming. People I speak to who are experiencing it at the border, they're not only coming, but they're letting everybody in. Military-aged men coming, dressed in camouflage, they're letting them in. Children, they're flying them all over the country, they're letting them in. It is known by all these countries that the Biden administration is not enforcing any immigration laws, and that the border is wide open, and that no one is being turned away. This was all optics. And it didn't look well for Kamala at all. It didn't look well. The president of Guatemala outright blamed the Biden immigration policy for all the surge of migrants. So did the Mexican president. He's not stupid. Neither is the president of Mexico. Harris went to Mexico after Guatemala to meet with the Mexican president to discuss border issues. Yeah, they know what the border issues are. You opened them. And now it's a free-for-all migration through Guatemala, through Mexico, to get to the United States, land of the free, and land of the free handouts by the Biden administration. and to get your driver's license and Democratic voting card. So she's in Mexico, and you would think, okay, she's been ridiculed for, what is it, over 60 days that she hasn't been to the border since she's been tapped and became the border czar, that she was going to take care of the border. She hasn't been to the border. She hasn't had a news conference about the border. She laughs about people talking about the border if she's going to the border. So what does she do next? She got on her plane and flew back over the southern border back to D.C. Tell me this. She's the vice president. Vice president of the United States. Again, Biden tapped her to handle the border crisis. Never had a press conference. She has yet to visit the border to see the situation for herself or even talk to the Border Patrol, which I know she doesn't want to because she has compared the Border Patrol and ICE to the KKK. She has said that. I believe, and she might have even called them Nazis. So she flew over the border twice, and she couldn't plan a stop on the way back to truly see what's going on after talking about these so-called root causes for the migration in Guatemala and Mexico. She was right there. She was right there. What does that tell you? She doesn't give a shit about the border. She doesn't care about the border crisis. She made that very clear on national TV in her interview with Lester Holt on NBC while she was in Guatemala. She says she has been working on this border issue for a very long time. She's full of crap. She hasn't done anything about the border ever. She was asked about why she hasn't been to the border to see what Americans are seeing. And all she did was she danced around it. And then when Lester Holt pressed her, she gets all hostile. Take a look at the interview. Take a look at this.
Put a button.
Okay.
Do you have any plans to visit the border?
At some point, you know, we are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border. We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point that you're making. I'm not discounting the importance of the border.
Well, I mentioned it because I know Republicans have certainly come at you on this, but Democratic Congressman Cuellar has a border district has said to you and the president, come. You need to see this.
Listen, I care about what's happening at the border. I'm in Guatemala because my focus is dealing with the root causes of migration. There may be some who think that that is not important, but it is my firm belief that if we care about what's happening at the border, we better care about the root causes and address them. And so that's what I'm doing.
So she blatantly lies and says, we have been to the border. Who's been to the border? The Secretary of Homeland Security, he went a couple times. We know she has never been to the border. She hasn't been to the border. And when Lester Holt, I'm no fan of his at all. But he presses her and says, well, you haven't been to the border. She gets stupidly hostile and blurts out that she hasn't been to Europe either. I don't even the moment of awkwardness. The vice president of the United States. Well, you haven't been to the border. Well, I haven't been to Europe either. What does that even mean? Next time somebody asks me if I'm vaccinated, I'm going to say, well, I haven't. You're not vaccinated? Well, no, I haven't been to Europe either. I mean, really? What? I still can't process what that means. She has to be as stupid or stupider as AOC. I thought AOC had the federal government stupidity award. I don't know. AOC better watch out. She has some major competition in the stupid category. Both equally useless. Kamala has no intention on going to the border. You could see it in her. She has no intention. She doesn't care. They want this border crisis to just continue. It helps their cause and it fits their narrative. I'm imagining, though, at some point that the administration is going to force her to go again, only for optics and to shut up the masses because they continue to call her out for not doing anything. She's done nothing. Even Democrats are calling her out. You know that term, if it's not broke, don't fix it. Well, the border crisis, that's not broke to the Biden administration. You have to understand that because they orchestrated it from the start. It's a man-made border crisis. Remember, people, these migrants, these illegal aliens, all future Democrats. They're all future Democrats. They're going to get them in, get them driver's licenses, get them registered to vote as Democrats. That's the plan. That's why the H.R. 1 bill they want so bad, which they're probably not going to get. It's going to fall apart on them. But this is their plan. I have said it so many times. This border crisis, this man-made border crisis, is the largest Democrat voting registration drive in modern U.S. history, period. Okay, I want to talk about a nobody who she wants to be a somebody. And the only way these days, apparently, to be a somebody is spewing wokeness ideologies and being a race baiter who hates white people and America. This nobody goes by the name of Mara Gray. You might have heard about this already. It's been all over a lot of news and YouTube and some other things. Mara Gray, she's a New York Times editorial board member and an MSNBC analyst. So right there, that should tell you what we're dealing with. So Mara Gay. I keep calling her Gray. Her name is Mara Gay. Got to keep remembering that. She's so insignificant. Whatever. Do we really care what her name is? She's a black woman. She appeared on MSNBC's Morning Joe. It's a show. And she talked about her summer weekend on Long Island in New York, my neighborhood. That's where I live. I live in Long Island. And how she was disturbed by, this is good. I had to watch this about 100 times. She was disturbed by seeing so many flags being flown on the back of pickup trucks on Long Island. And no, pickup trucks on Long Island are just not driven by white men. Let me get that out of the way. And no, there are no real rednecks on Long Island. We do have some wannabe rednecks, but there aren't any real ones. And yes, a lot of pickup trucks and Jeeps and other vehicles are flying all types of flags on Long Island. Trump flags, not so nice flags about Joe Biden, which triggered Mara Gay. Second Amendment flags and a whole crap load of American flags. American flags everywhere. Sometimes I see trucks with 5, 6, 7 American flags on it. You know, it's a little much. It is what it is. They're happy to fly their flags. More power to them. You know, let's talk a minute about the triggering from these evil flags being flown. People support Trump on Long Island. A lot of people support Trump and still fly Trump flags all over the country. That's all over the country, not just on Long Island. Some people fly flags that have explicit language on them about Joe Biden. specifically, you know, fuck Joe Biden. I'm not a big fan of those explicit flags just being flown around the neighborhood, really just because of the kids. I see it. You see the big flag. It says, you know, fuck Biden. And you know, you're driving past schools. Hey, listen. It's free speech, and everyone has the right to do it. I support that right 1,000%. I don't like that specific flag. Fly an extra Trump flag, whatever. But more power to them. They can fly whatever they want, and, you know, they're protected under the First Amendment. Apparently, those flags and the American flags triggered Mara Gay to the point where she said it was like a horror movie for her being on Long Island. This poor, poor, poor woman. She then went to say that Americanness needs to be separated from whiteness. And I'm sitting here listening to her say that, and I'm going, what does that even mean? Does that mean more segregation that the wokeness and the radical leftists want? Americanness now needs a specific skin color? Oh, and flying American flags on your truck means, apparently to her, that this is my country and not your country. Because she said that too. Like it's a sense of ownership. No, you moron. Flying the American flag means that you're a proud American and proud what it stands for. The freedoms of our country, our country, my country, your country. Mara Gay, your country. It's your country too. Mine and yours. She's a simple-minded idiot. And this is what they're showcasing and highlighting. You know, she works for MSNBC. Let's put it on the air and just drive the race baiting more. Let's drive the divisive racist narrative by the left. Let's drive it more because some people want to fly flags all of a sudden. They're racists. And because what? You know, there are plenty of black people on Long Island driving pickup trucks with American flags on the back of them and Trump flags on the back of them. I'm sure you'll find a few explicit flags about Biden on them, too. I know two personally, two that are black, have pickup trucks, and one of them has flown one of those flags. I think still does. So Americanness has to be separated from whiteness. No. Americanness is all skin colors, you idiot. But I want you to watch the video. Try not to throw up all over yourself. Just take a look at this.
I think as long as they see Americanness as the same as one with whiteness, this is going to continue. We have to figure out how to get every American a place at the table in this democracy, but how to separate Americanness, America, from whiteness. Until we can confront that and talk about that, this is really going to continue. I was on Long Island this weekend visiting a really dear friend, and I was really disturbed. I saw, you know, dozens and dozens of pickup trucks with explicatives against Joe Biden on the back of them, yep. Trump yep. flags, and some cases just dozens of American flags, which, you know, is also just disturbing because essentially the message was clear. It was, this is my country. This is not your yep. country. I own this. And so until we're ready to have that conversation, this is going to continue.
So there it is. More race-baiting bullshit that white men in trucks who fly Trump or American flags are such a big, you know, threat to America because I guess they're too white and that's not good for America. Again, I know white men, black men, and Hispanic men actually who drive pickup trucks on Long Island and proudly fly American flags from them constantly. I drive a pickup truck. Occasionally, I put an American flag on the hitch, but not often. Does that make me a white supremacist because I'm white and proud to be an American and fly an American flag? there is no color of Americanness. Again, the divisive hatred that these woke idiots are spreading is what it's what's really disturbing and what's dangerous. And they're the ones, the left wokeness, the leftists, the radicals, the progressives, they're the ones that are really pushing that racist narrative. Remember, Joe Biden said, and he said it, the left wants to push the narrative that white supremacy is the most lethal threat to our country, except the president can't get his biggest threat straight these days. Since January 6th, you know, the riot at the Capitol that wasn't an insurrection because no one was charged with insurrection or sedition or anything or any of that, that white supremacy is the most lethal threat in our country. And people believe that, apparently. Idiots. But again, he can't get his biggest threats straight because Joe Biden made another moronic statement just recently when he told members of the military, while giving a speech to them, I believe the Air Force, that the greatest threat to them, the greatest threat to America, you ready for this? Okay. Global warming. Global warming. That is the, apparently now, or at least this week, the biggest threat to our country. I've heard it all. I think I've heard it all. I don't know. I'm sure. No, we probably have it. We have, what, another 3.5 years of other stupidity that I'm sure he'll spew out of his face. But yeah, so we go from white supremacy to global warming. Has it changed to just global warming? Because apparently that's what the Joint Chiefs told him at story time with Sleepy Joe. Or is it both? I don't know. It's unbelievable. I just want you to hear him say it for yourself. So just listen to him.
You know what the Joint Chiefs told us the greatest threat facing America was? Global warming.
There you have it. Global warming is the biggest threat to our military. Not fighting on the front lines in war, not having rounds flying past their heads in battle, not having heavy artillery exploding right near them from enemy gunfire and our heavy artillery. Nope. It's global warming. That's the danger to our country, and this is what he's telling our military. You imagine being in the military, those of you that are in the military, imagine you're told that, no, the biggest threat is global warming, not the terrorists that want to kill you. Not our adversaries that would love nothing more than to kill American soldiers. Our enemies. But global warming is the biggest threat. How do you take the leader of the free world seriously when you hear that come out of his mouth? You can't. Which is it this week, Sleepy Joe? What's the biggest threat this week? White supremacy or is it global warming? I don't know. Maybe it's everyone calling out Dr. Fauci for all the lies he told. Maybe people who choose not to get vaccinated, maybe they're the biggest threat to our country. That'll be next. The biggest threat to our country is the radical progressives, the radical progressive left that is weakening our military, pandering to other radical left ideologies, destroying our economy, indoctrinating our children, and attempting to take away as many constitutional rights they possibly can. That is the biggest threat to our great republic. And if we don't start as American citizens doing something about it and getting involved and getting people in positions to govern that are going to fix this mess, we are in for a real bumpy ride. How many times can I say it? How many times can you hear it? You got to fight like hell. We cannot allow a tyrannical government to take any of our rights away. And that's why the midterm elections are important. And the progressive left, that is, without a doubt, 100%, the biggest threat to our country. I'm going to leave it there. I want you all to just get involved and have a conversation with somebody that maybe you wouldn't normally talk politics with, maybe someone with an opposing opinion, and have that respectful conversation. And maybe you can help each other understand something and work on something together instead of just sitting by and watching the world go by and be destroyed by these progressives. And I say progressives because the progressives are separate from run-of-the-mill Democrats and liberals. I can't even really say liberals anymore. I have to say the radical left, the radical progressives, because not every liberal, not every Democrat is radical. But unfortunately, it seems that moderate Democrats are outnumbered by these radical progressives. So we have to work on that. Listen, I want to tell everyone about a podcast that I listened to. I had him on the show, Alex Abernathy. His podcast is Combating the Madness. Go over and take and listen. It's another conservative podcast. He's a great guy. He's got a lot of good, great things to say. He's got great messages. Combating the Madness. Get it over on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Check him out and give him some support. I'll put his social media in the show notes. Give him a follow. Get all my episodes, The Great Divide, 1776.com. All the social media is on there. The Instagram almost threw me off today, actually. I think I posted something about Cuomo and somebody didn't like it and reported me. They threatened to deactivate my account. Facebook jail for another 10 days. You know, the social media wars continue. So, all right, everybody, listen. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. And most of all, God bless America. You take care. You can reach out to me with opinions and ideas for other episodes at TheGreatDivide1776@gmail.com. You can also find me on social media at The Great Divide Podcast. And please be sure to leave a review for this podcast so the show can be shared to other listeners. Thank you, and God bless America.